So why are our prayers unanswered sometimes? I'm sure that's a question you have asked a lot and maybe even struggle with. We're going to try to deal with that today. From a human standpoint, if anyone deserved to have a simple prayer answered, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't that make sense? He's been in prison. He's been beaten for his faith. On 5 different occasions, he received 39 lashes with straps that have stones embedded in them. Imagine how painful and tormenting that must have been. 3 different occasions, he is beaten with rods. In another situation, there are people who are throwing rocks at him, not just to run him away, but with the intent of taking his life, of killing him. He has been shipwrecked 3 different times while he was on the open sea. And then in his words to us, he describes that he goes through constant endangerment, tough situations, some from natural elements, just being exposed to nature, sometimes from robbers as he goes on roads, some of them fairly deserted, and he's susceptible to them. He even mentions that he gets attacked by fellow Jews, from Gentiles, and worst of all, he mentions occasions that he is betrayed by people who are supposedly a part of the family of faith that he is in. And then he describes, as a spiritual leader, which I can relate to so much, the daily pressure of the responsibility of the body of Christ. He has that constantly on his spiritual shoulders. He's always dealing with that. Wouldn't you think, with all of his commitment and then with all of the tough things that he had gone through, that certainly if he had asked for a thorn in the flesh to be removed, that that would be taken care of? And yet it doesn't happen. If anybody deserved it, if anybody had enough faith, Paul had incredibly strong faith in God, but on 3 different occasions, he asked for this thorn in his flesh to be removed, and it's not taken away. So what's going on during this time? Some speculate what that thorn in the flesh was for Paul. Some think it might have been his eyesight, which would have made sense, wouldn't it? You remember what he experienced on the road to Damascus when the blinding light, the glory of God, shone upon him and he actually went blind for several days. There's another time that he's referring to his Galatian brothers and sisters and he says, I know you care for me so much that if you could have, you would have plucked out your eyes for me. So there's a hint there that maybe it's something to do with his eyesight. Some think it's nothing physical. Others speculate it may be some spiritual battle that he's going through. The bottom line is we don't know, but what we do know is that that thorn is not removed. It's not taken away. After significant prayer time, numerous requests, the Apostle Paul experiences unanswered prayer. Or was it unanswered? We're going to be trying to look at these questions here today. Some of you may be able to relate to this struggle about prayers that you have been lifting up that are not answered. Today, what we want to look at is how you and I can grow stronger prayer lives. That's the ultimate. What a privilege it is that we can come to the Father. How do we have stronger prayer lives? It all begins by making commitments to walk more closely with Christ. It starts there, developing a closer connection with Jesus Christ. Now, how does that happen? First of all, it happens through consistent confession of our failures, of our sins. We want to make sure that sin doesn't just sit in our spiritual lives. Because if it does, it will greatly and negatively impact our prayer lives. Listen to the warning that we receive from the writer of the 66th Psalm in verse 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, and that's a good word to cling to there. If I had cherished sin, if I desire it, if I love hanging it around, the Lord would not have listened. Sometimes the reason our prayers are ignored is because unconfessed sin is hindering our closeness with God. It doesn't matter enough for us to confess it so that it can be taken away from us. Even as believers, as followers of Christ, we have this struggle between the old nature, our lives before choosing to follow Christ, and the new nature that He gives us when we choose to follow Him. That struggle goes on. And if we ignore the sin that happens, none of us is perfect, we're going to continue to fail. But if we ignore it, we're not going to walk closely with God, and He is not going to hear our prayers. Why? Because we've chosen sin over God. We need to be consistently confessing our sin so that we can walk closely with Him. 1 John 1:9 speaks very strongly and clearly about our goal here. If we confess our sins, that is, if we agree with God that we've blown it, that we have messed up, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The opposite of this is not to admit it when we sin and not to confess it and to walk away from confession. And if we do that, we're walking away from God, and it is going to impact our prayer lives. Here is the goal. John shares it in John 15, verse 7, as well as 1 John 3:22. If you remain in me, in other words, if you walk closely with me, if you hang out with me spiritually, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And then in the first epistle, 1 John, and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. Now, here's what we tend to focus on in those verses we just read. These two phrases: ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Or, and receive from Him anything we ask. We say, yeah, sounds good. Let me ask so that He'll give anything I ask. But we forget the other parts, the more significant aspects of these verses. And here are these two key phrases: my words remain in you, and keep His commands and do what pleases Him. Because here's what happens. When we walk closely with Christ, our prayer lives change. The focus of our praying is different. It is less about me and about my needs and my wants and my desires. And it is much more all about Him. God-centered praying. We pray His words. We walk intimately with Him. His desires consume us. And there's less selfish praying. Keep that in mind. We need to confess regularly. We need to walk closely with Christ. A second way to walk closely with Him is to make sure that when we pray, we are praying with the right motive, the right heart, the right desire. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, think about the content of your praying. Is the content of your praying more self-centered, or is it more Christ-centered? Is it more about what we desire and what we want? Or will we yield to the will of God and focus on Him? You see, the ultimate motive is in praying is to ask that His kingdom will grow, that His kingdom will be furthered, that His kingdom will be central to all that we live for. There was a guy who lived a couple of centuries ago named Robert Ingersoll, and he is an agnostic, was not a follower of Christ, did not believe God's word, and he made the following quote focusing a lot on how pastors pray, and there is a lot of truth in what this agnostic guy said. Here's what he says in his quote. Praying has become a business, a profession, a trade. A minister is never happier than when praying in public. Most of them are exceedingly familiar with their God. Then he goes on to say, knowing that he, that is God, knows everything, they tell him the needs of the nation and the desires of the people. They advise him what to do and when to do it. So that's really a great statement to think about. Is this how we pray? Do we advise God what to do and how to do it as if he needs our advice or our input? Or do we come to receive from him his advice, his life, the overflowing Christian life? Do we pray to try to get God's stamp of approval on what we're asking? Or are we truly seeking his heart, his will, and his way? We often talk about having faith when we pray. And it's certainly important to have faith. But here's my question. Where should our faith be focused? On self or on God? Our faith is for God's will to be done. And this is a third way to stay close to Jesus Christ. To ask most of all for his purposes and his plan to occur. To have properly directed faith. That's exactly how Jesus taught us to pray. Do you remember the disciples' prayer? Matthew 6. Look how it starts in verses 9 and 10. This then is how you should pray. This is the beginning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's about you. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's important not just to have faith, but to have faith in God, our Creator, our Lover, our Redeemer. To have faith in his purposes, to ask for his will to be accomplished. We don't believe in our own faith. We don't focus on our resources, but instead the focus is on our almighty sovereign God. We don't focus on positive thinking. We don't believe in our own believing. Again, our faith is on God. We long for his purposes to be accomplished. Is this how you pray? Or are you more like those ministers described by Robert Ingersoll, who tell God the needs as if he doesn't know what's going on, and then try to advise him on what needs to be doing, on what he needs to be doing, instead of us trusting in his will and his purpose? Please remember this about the ultimate focus of prayer. What is the ultimate focus of prayer? The ultimate focus is to change me. To change us so that you and I can be conformed even more to the image of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we pray like we're trying to educate God or fill him in or convince him or try to get him to change what he's doing. Instead, we need to yield to him. Let's look together at some important truths about prayer. The first one I want you to know is so important. I really want every one of you to hear this morning. God really cares about you. I wish I could just share that with you individually here today. I wish I could look in your eyes and let you know that. God really does care about you. He's not ignoring you. He loves you like no one else in the universe. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is a book that you probably don't know a lot about. Zephaniah. Been reading there recently? How about chapter 3, verse 17? The Lord your God is with you. He's with you today and every day. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. Have you ever been just overwhelmed by the love of God and just still before him in his awesome presence? He will rejoice over you with singing. Somebody took these words and put it into musical fashion. I just want to mention to you, maybe this is something you need to hear this morning. Maybe you're not quite sure about how much he cares about you and loves you. I want you to know that here today. Maybe you feel distant from him today. God cares. He does love you. He takes great delight in you. I want to invite you to listen to this simple but powerful song about your God who takes delight in you. Let the images represent
praise
you
God
as you hear these words. Did you see yourself in one of those pictures? He is rejoicing over you. That is the God that we serve. Come to him today in your prayer lives. But as you come to him, come with his agenda, not your own. May your focus be on him. May your focus be on his purposes and his plan. Our praying should always be God-centered and God-focused. Jesus models this prayer. There's a time when Jesus himself is struggling with what he knows is on his horizon. Betrayal by one of his own followers. Physical abuse. And then eventually the cross And in that, what does Jesus pray? What a wonderful model for us in Luke 22, verse 42. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Paul follows this example. He is honest before God. He asks for this thorn to be removed. But the answer, no. The thorn is not going to be removed because God has a greater purpose and plan in store for you, Paul. And it's going to include you living with that thorn. The same thing happened with Jesus. Did he have a thorn? Yeah, big time. A crown of thorns on his head, crucified on a tree for you and me. A greater plan, a greater purpose that included difficult times and even suffering. If you were to look through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you would see story after story of incredible faith that occurs there. Awesome stories of courage and commitment. I want to just show you one verse from Hebrews 11, verse 35. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Talk about an answer to prayer, huh? Look at the next sentence. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. And I'm sure that the women who received their loved ones back from the grave were rejoicing at the miraculous answers to their prayers. No question. Unbelievable. But what about the moms of those who were tortured, who refused to leave so that they might have an even greater purpose in life, an even greater miracle down the road? I'm sure that those moms must have been praying for their loved ones during this time. But these people refused to leave jail because they were looking forward to a greater resurrection. What tremendous faith in God to trust Him during the trials, during the difficult times. And by the way, God-focused prayer includes a lot of praise and thanksgiving. Do you start there? By praising Him, by thanking Him. What do we do when we pray? Do we spend more time asking for stuff or thanking and praising our awesome God? That's a God-centered prayer life. And here's what I'd like for you to consider as an important prayer truth. The question was, why are my prayers unanswered? I would proclaim this. They're not. God always answers every single prayer. How? Sometimes yes. Sometimes no. That's an answer. Sometimes wait. No question, the yes one's a lot more fun, isn't it? When we see these answers to prayer, and when they do come and they're yeses, would you make sure you thank Him and praise Him and honor Him and serve Him with even greater devotion? The next one's a lot tougher. Sometimes God says no. And can we be transparent enough today to say that there have been times in our lives that we have prayed for things, and as we look back now, we thank God He said no instead of yes? Because now we have His perspective. We understand more of what He was doing. You see, we don't have the knowledge He has. We don't have the eternal perspective of God. And it takes trust in Him. Will we do it even when He says no? Hey, parents and grandparents, did you give your kids and grandkids everything they ever asked for? If you did, what would have happened? It would have been a mess, wouldn't it? We would have been raising up a lot of self-centered, self-focused kids. Do you realize the same thing can happen to us if we get every single thing we ask for right away? So why should we pray for others when sometimes the answer is going to be no? Have you ever wondered about that? Are you sometimes afraid to pray for a miracle because you're not sure it's going to happen? It might make you look bad. I want to invite you to get over that, to pray about anything. Prayer is an opportunity to express love and concern for others. And when people invite us to pray for them, we need to do that, to be other-centered in our praying. And when we do that, God is honored. When we pray for someone who is sick and struggling, you know what we're doing? We're telling God that we believe in Him and that we believe He is mighty to do whatever He chooses to do. And we're showing others that we care for them. And if the answer doesn't come exactly as we want it to be, we don't blame God. And we don't walk away from Him. Instead, we continue to live lives of faith. We show unconditional faith in the sovereignty and power of our awesome God. Prayer is actually a bridge for us to walk across and to join God in accomplishing His great purpose on this planet. And as we pray, guess what else happens? We get closer and closer to God. We grow closer to Him. Remember, the ultimate purpose in prayer is to change moi, right? To change me. Someone wrote the following entitled, God Said No. The author writes, I asked God to take away my pride, and God said no. He said, pride is not for Him to take away, but for me to give up. I asked God to grant me patience. That's a tough one, isn't it? And God said, no. He said, patience is a byproduct of tribulation, tough times. It isn't granted. It's learned with time. I asked God to give me happiness. And God said, no. He said He gives His blessings. Joy is so much better than happiness. Don't settle for superficial happiness. Stand up for joy. I asked God to spare me from pain, and God said no. He said suffering separates us from worldly cares and brings us closer to Him. I asked God to make my spirit grow, and God said no. Surprising? He said, I must do the spiritual disciplines, but He will prune me to make me more fruitful. I asked Him if He loves me, and God said, yes. I gave Jesus to die for you. I then said, God, would You help me love others as You love me and to invite them to follow Christ? And He said, ah, finally you understand. That's what we are to do. In just a few minutes, young lady in our faith family, Jill, is going to sing a beautiful song. And she's going to do it in a beautiful way. I know, I've heard her practice it. But I want you to listen to the words that she sings here in a few minutes. The words say, what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if the trials of life are your mercies in disguise? Hey, when God says no, it's okay to say, well, God, I don't understand. This is tough. It's hard. It hurts bad. It's okay to say these things. But it's best to be able to close it out by saying, God, I really do trust You. Even when I don't understand, and in the middle of my personal pain, I'm going to continue to trust You. Paul wasn't bitter that God said no to the thorn in his flesh. And he didn't walk away from God when his prayer was not answered. He became more faithful, more committed to the cause of the Great Commission. And so much of the book of Acts comes from his faithfulness in following God in an unconditional way. May we receive the same word from God that He brought to Paul in the last part of verse 9 of our text that was read earlier. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There was something about this thorn in Paul's flesh that kept him closer to God and allowed him to be even more dependent on Him. There's one other way that God answers our prayers. Sometimes He says, not now. The timing is not right. Wait. And then He would say to us, and while you're waiting, keep on keeping on, man. Don't give up. Continue to persevere through those times. What can happen during these delays? Our character can be developed in an unbelievable way if we'll really trust Him in this time. We're going to develop those qualities like patience and character. Again, think about our children. If they got everything they wanted right away, they would never learn self-control, self-discipline, the lessons of life that come their way. So when answers don't come right away, instead of asking the question, why, would you be willing to ask this question, what? God, what are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish in my life? What are you trying to teach me? Sometimes God says no to one request so He can say yes to a greater cause. God said no to Lazarus' healing. Do you remember that? And what came out of that? A resurrection, a greater miracle. Jesus initially overlooks a paralyzed man's most obvious need to be able to walk. Why? So that He could accomplish the greater miracle first, to forgive him of all of his sins and to make him a child of the King. And then He followed up by healing him as well. God the Father allows Jesus Christ to suffer, to go through incredible pain, and to die. Why? For a greater good. For the cause of Christ. For the salvation that can be ours through Him. And so I want to invite you to claim this promise in 1 John 5:14 and 15 and make this your life of prayer. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. Claim this promise and grow in your lives of prayer. Father, we want to listen right now. We want to listen to your Spirit speak to us about something that needs to be different about our prayer lives. Lord, what is that going to be? Are you challenging us to change the focal points of our praying? We want to start by praising and thanking you for who you are. And whenever we see you, we know we need some sins to be forgiven. God, maybe confession is what we most need right now. Holy Spirit, remind us of some things that we've pushed under the surface that we need to release right now to you so that we can draw closer to you. Lord, if we've been praying with the wrong motives, show us if our focus is wrong. We want to focus on you. God, show us how we can be a part of a prayer team when two or more are gathered in your name. And when we agree on your will, you're there in a powerful way. And you will answer those awesome prayers. So God, help us to take it a step up today. Speak. We're listening. Change our whole outlook on praying, Father. May it be a growing discipline for each of us. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen. Hey, what did God say to you today? You know, what part of praying needs to be a little different than it has been? There's so many things that we want to pray for today and remember, so many awesome things, so many great opportunities. One is I'm thankful for those precious girls today, the American Heritage girls, thankful that They have leaders that care for them and invest in them, and we just want to see that ministry grow. So pray for AHG, if you will, just to remember them. Maybe there's a girl or two you know there. Just lift them up. They're going through a lot in their lives. We want to pray for them. We want to pray for the kids. What else is on your heart here today? Maybe it's to be a part of the prayer team here. Do you know there is one? Whenever prayer requests are passed in, either on your communication cards, and don't hesitate before you leave today, if there are prayer needs that you want to share, those that are not confidential will go to a team, and people will pray over those, and those will be lifted up to the Father. So if you have some needs that you want to share before you leave, just write them on those cards and leave them in the offering plates that are passed by or one of the baskets as you leave. If there's something else on your heart that you want to share with us, do that. That's your way of communicating with us. So we want to lift you up in prayer as well. If you'd like to be a part of that prayer team, we would love to have you on that team as well. Just write that on your communication card. Say, sign me up for the prayer team. I want to introduce a new friend today, Mary. Come stand with me here at the front. I've been communicating with Mary. She has been called of God to go to a special place in the world to be a full-time missionary. And she's a special friend of the Vaughns who've come our way, and we're able to connect with her. And I had communicated, even spoken with her, and then she just showed up this morning out of the blue. Last time I talked to her, she was in Seattle or West Coast somewhere. But I asked Mary if we could just introduce her to you so that you could pray for her. Here's what's exciting about her ministry. She feels called to unreached people on the planet. She already has that location. I'm not going to mention that verbally, publicly. That part doesn't matter. But here's what's exciting. She's called to reach Muslims for Christ. And so God has given her a platform that she's developing and using. And we just want her to be encouraged by that. Summit family, why don't you join me in just welcoming Mary to the body here today. I know you're glad she's here. Glad you are here. And why don't the rest of you all stand? We're going to lead into our ministry time here, and I'm going to ask Mary. In fact, Robert, Valerie, why don't you guys just come on up and stand with her as well? Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to have her just off to the side a little bit. If during our response time you just wish to come and share a quick prayer for Mary, or just give her a high five on the way out, doesn't matter. Let her know that she's not alone. I'm proud of you for stepping out and following God, and we want to pray for you today. So you guys just get to the side over there where you'll be out of the mainstream. But if you'd like to come by during our response time and to encourage Mary, please do. If there's other decisions on your heart here today, you're welcome to make those public as well. As we sing and as we pray, let's listen to the voice of God.